darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be His ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And it goes on in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But I welcome you to this edition of the Hamilton Corner. This is Alex McFarland. Very, very honored to be sitting in for Abe Hamilton III. Very honored that you're listening to the American Family Radio Network this afternoon. So glad to be with you. There's a great show that we've got for you, folks. There's a lot of headlines in the news. We're going to be commenting on them. And we're going to have a very special guest, a colleague and friend, Carl Kirby. Plus, we'll take some calls. And I've got the call screening software up. If you want to enter into the conversation, the number is 888-589-8840. And for those of you listening on radio, listening on mobile device, or those watching online at AFR.net, if you recognize my voice, Alex McFarland here. I'm on a show called Exploring the Word. We are now in our 15th year, and I give God the glory for that. Bert Harper and myself teaching through the Bible year after year, and so honored that God has raised up the American Family Radio Network for these times. You know, as I get into some headlines, and we talk about what's going on in the world. Let me read about this, because one of the questions we perennially get on Exploring the Word is the question, are we in the last days? Are we near the end of time? Well, I don't know. I think so. I happen to believe that we are very, very likely near the return of Jesus Christ. And yes, the Bible is clear that Jesus Christ literally will return to earth one day. The evil systems of a fallen world will be vanquished, and Christ will rule and reign in righteousness, justice, holiness, and love forever and ever. The Bible says regarding Jesus, of His kingdom, there will be no end. I'm very glad of that. You know, America just celebrated her 248th birthday. I love this nation. I'm very patriotic. But people are asking the question. Historians, sociologists, political science theorists, they ask the question, is America reaching her expiration date? Do you know, not necessarily. Maybe, but not necessarily, because do you remember those words of Benjamin Franklin as they came out of Philadelphia, the Constitutional Convention? It is said that a woman walked up to Benjamin Franklin and said, "Sir, what type of government have you given us?" Do you remember his answer? He said, "A republic, if you can keep it." Now, do you know, people talk about the Roman Empire, and very often, they compare a decadent, hedonistic, lawless America to the last days of the Roman Empire. But do you know what? Rome originally was a republic. Now, there was a Roman philosopher and poet named Juvenal. And Juvenal very much lamented, this was a couple of hundred years after the life of Jesus, but Juvenal, the Roman writer, lamented the decadence, the immorality, the sexual deviancy, the crumbling of the Roman Republic, then called an empire. And here's what Juvenal said. I'm going to give you the quote as popularly known. Juvenal said, in a crumbling empire, all people care about are bread and circuses. In other words, feed me, entertain me, that's all that matters. But really, the translations of the quote that most scholars think are the more accurate, Juvenal said, give people bread and circuses and they will not revolt. And I worry about our nation right now. I mean, it's almost like, hey, if I've got money, if I can buy stuff, just don't rock the boat, don't ruffle any feathers. Let's get along to go along. And folks, here's the thing. When Benjamin Franklin said, we have a republic if we can keep it, I think of the James Madison quote, that our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other. Now, a free economy, a free representative republic, it depends on what, in legal terms, is called good faith. In other words, that I'm going to be forthright, that I'm going to tell the truth, that I'm going to keep my word, that I'm going to own responsibility for my actions. And we're living in a country that is fast losing our foundation. Now, I know as a Christian, it's the gospel. People need Jesus, of course. But do you know what is really, even prior to a personal relationship with Jesus, important as that is, vital as that is, the philosophical foundation of our country is morality. Morality. If you go to the rotunda of the Capitol in Washington, D.C., you look around the ceiling, the perimeter of the ceiling there in the Capitol, you'll see references to this all over Washington. It's a man holding two tablets. It's Moses, the Decalogue, the law of God as overtly, explicitly given in Exodus 21 through 17, but also the law of God as written on every heart. Well, folks, you and I can make a difference in helping preserve knowledge of these things and in doing so preserve our republic, and we can vote. Right now, I'm going to talk with a beloved colleague and friend, and I'm going to talk about what contributed to the loss of our belief in moral truth and a God that revealed moral truth. There have been a lot of trends and a lot of cultural winds that have blown to undermine our faith in God. And I would submit the number one thing of all is something that we'll discuss with Carl Kirby. Carl Kirby, you've heard his name, you've heard his voice many times. We have Carl Kirby on every chance we get. He is the founder of Reasons for Hope. He's a renowned author and apologetic speaker. He's also a colleague with whom I partner throughout the year, and I'm always glad to hear his wisdom and insights. Carl Kirby, thanks for making time to be with us. Welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
And I love being with you. You're an inspiration to me, and I appreciate all that you're doing.
Well, God is good.
Before we go too much farther,
tell people about Reasons for Hope, your website, the debunked videos. But give us a snapshot of all that you're about, Carl.
Thanks, Alex. Reasons for Hope is the name of the ministry. The website is RFORH. It just stands for Reasons for Hope. So R4H.com. And that's our app as well. If you download the app, that has hours, and I do mean literally hours of free content on there, including the debunked videos that Alex is talking about. The debunked videos are animated, fast-paced. We take on claims that the world likes to throw at us, especially the younger generation. As Adam can, or as Alex can tell you, at our camps, we hand out index cards on day one and say, okay, what are the questions keeping you from selling out for the Lord Jesus Christ? Write it down, turn it in, and that's what we deal with. Well, a lot of those turn into debunked videos because, you know, we hear these things and it's a common theme. So, well, you can't trust the Bible. It's full of mistakes and errors. All you Christians have is faith, blind faith, abortion. There's nothing wrong with abortion. Critical race theory, that's biblical. So, I mean, those are the types of topics that we take on debunked. Like I said, fast-paced, animated, because younger generation, they just think different. And, I mean, no disrespect to the mature audience out there. But this younger generation is shown to have a 2.2 second attention span, which if you think you can reach them with today, they're gone and you're going to lose them. And so we go after them. We don't pull punches. We do not water down the scripture. So that's the ministry in a nutshell, is we're going after a generation that thinks different, bringing biblical authority, biblical truth to them. And we have no greater partnership than with Alex, especially when we do our equip retreats. It is unbelievable, folks. I wish you could come and watch what happens when you get these young people seeing that they can trust God's word in its entirety, not pieces. Oh, yeah. In its entirety, is having an impact. And so thank you, Alec, for what you do and for allowing us to be a part of what you're doing as well.
Well, indeed. And we'll talk about that as summer of 2025 comes around. I know we're barely out of summer of 24.
Yeah, I think you're muted, Alex.
Okay, let me see here if I can unmute myself. Wow, I guess am I muted?
There you go.
Am I back on now? I don't know how I'm muted. But
you're still muted, Alex.
Okay, let's see here.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
No.
Now. I'm going to ask you, Carl, if you're on a laptop, to turn me down because I'm echoing through my headphone.
Okay, I'll turn it down.
Now, okay. Summer of 24 is barely over now. But we're already working on summer of 25. And forgive me, I'm going to have to mute me again. But I know I'm going out over the speaker. But Carl, let me ask you this. If you could name one thing that's been the predominant reason that the world has turned against belief in God and against belief in moral truth, what has been the biggest contributor to abandonment of God, moral truth, and Christianity?
Okay, I'm plugging my AirPods in. Does that work any better for you, Alex?
I
think so.
I still hear myself echoing through the environment.
There we go.
I'm sorry, folks.
I'm echoing this feedback. It's kind of weird. But wouldn't you say, Carl, that the biggest philosophy to turn people away From belief in God, morality, and truth has been over the last 160 years evolution. I mean, the Western world has abandoned God because of Darwinian evolution. Wouldn't you agree?
I just got out here to California, so I'm not in my setup with everything and throwing this together. So I apologize to you, Alex, for this not being where it should be. Okay. Evolution is absolutely a key issue. Now, here's the reality of it, though. It's not necessarily even the evolution component. It's the fact that it's attacking the authority of the Word of God. If I can, one of the talks that I give is Genesis important? And I believe that is vitally important. And what we need to show is that if you want to get people to not trust the Word of God, it's so much information supportive. I mean, you've got so much archaeological evidence, you've got revelation, you've got all these things. But if I can get you to doubt the first chapter, you'll never sell out for really the rest of it. So people all the time will say, let's go out and get people the book of John. And I'm like, why should I give anybody the book of John if the book of Genesis isn't true? Because all that wonderful theology in John is predicated on that history in Genesis. So what I've seen is that the more that the church, unfortunately, the more that Christians have been willing to say, well, Genesis is good spiritual moral, but it's not real history, the more I think you're going to see people fall away from the rest of it. Because if you can't trust the first, you will not trust the finish. And Satan has been very smart. We send our children to a school system. 80 to 85% of Christian homes go to government schools to be trained by the world. And they learn a history of astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry that undermines the Word of God. And then we come along in the church and we try to throw Christian ease on top of a wrong history, and it will not work. If the world is teaching fact, that means we're relegated to teaching fairy tale and fable at best. Mm-hmm. And so I believe you're absolutely correct. One of the greatest tools that's been used to get us to where we are is the teaching of an alternative history other than the fact that you, every person listening right now, you are created in the image of God. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. You were literally knit together in your mother's womb. And if you want value, if you want worth, there is nothing on this planet that can give you more value than worth than the fact that the creator of the whole everything loved you so much, and he came and he died on a cross while you said no thank you, while you spat on him, while you drove the nails into his wrists and his feet, and he still came and he died for us. That is the ultimate value. But if you get rid of that history, you will not keep the future.
Mm. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about the creation message as a response, as an antidote to the religion of radical environmentalism.
I can't hear you, Alex. I'm sorry.
We're going to come back and we're going to talk about creation as an antidote to environmentalism. So stay tuned. Alex McFarland here with Carl Kirby. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. We've got a break. Plus, we'll take your calls and questions after this brief intermission. Don't go away. We're back in a moment.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Sheep desperately need a shepherd, and we are like sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23 is not just a nice poem, it actually is one of the most favorite passages in all of God's Word. But the fact is, it's not just a nice poem, a nice psalm to be drawn from. It's a weapon, an important tool for us to read and meditate on every day, to confess and stand on. Father, thank you for the gift Psalm 23 is. Thank you for the opportunity for us to speak Psalm 23 and to know that we can trust your word. You have guidance, you have counsel, you have encouragement, strength, wisdom, and power, so much more for us as we simply read and meditate on your word and listen to the voice of you, our great shepherd. Thank you for the opportunity to do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland. We're talking with Carl Kirby. Hey, by the way, let me refer you, if I may, to my own website, which is alexmcfarland.com. A couple of things coming up. I'm at a big event in North Carolina this weekend called Pray NC. Pray North Carolina. Hundreds of people from across the Mid-Atlantic region are coming together. There's a very historic theater called the Carolina Theater. It's really cool. I've actually rented this venue before. And I mean, years ago, like the Three Stooges performed there, Charlie Chaplin performed there. It's a historic movie palace, 100 years old. But we're going to have a big worship event there. And if you go to my website, which is alexmcfarland.com, you can see my tour schedule. And I would love for you to come out. We're just going to get together, all denominations, all ethnicities. We're going to pray for America. We're going to pray for this election. We're going to pray for revival in our nation. And also, I've got with me right now Carl Kirby. And before I pick his brain and dive into some topics, Carl, what is the website for you, your staff, Reasons for Hope?
Yes, it's, thanks, Alex, again. But before we go any further, brother, I am totally jealous. You're going to be where the Three Stooges have performed. I'm
exactly.
Telling you, I'm jealous, man. RFORH is the website. And, dude, I'm excited that you're going to get to do that. And what does our country need more right now? Prayer. So praise God you're doing that.
Yeah. And you know, Carl, I want to say this, and listen up, folks. Look, Carl and I both, we love apologetics. I mean, we're into the data. Abe Hamilton III, believe me, we're into biblical worldview. But I will tell you, it's not complicated. If you want a move of God's Holy Spirit, one of the keys, and Carl, I've seen this many times. I saw it in Richmond this past weekend. When Christians come together, God will show up. In John 17, 21, the Lord Jesus, when he was on his way to the cross, he prayed for the church. And that's us. If you're a believer, we're all part of the church. Yep. Jesus said, Father, John 17, 21, Father, that they all may be one, that the world may believe thou hast sent me. And Carl, I've seen, I know we had a big multi-church thing in Richmond this past weekend. There were people from Northern Virginia, Washington, Kentucky, all around the Mid-Atlantic region. People came and they said, we're praying for America. They love the AFR. They love all that we're doing. And we had several hundred come forward to accept Christ. Carl, you would have loved this in Richmond Sunday. First, I gave the altar call and I asked teenagers. I said, teenagers, would you come and pray for your school? Pray for your friends to become a believer. Pray for your school to be a drug-free zone. Pray for your school to be a violence-free zone. And I'm telling you, by the dozens, these kids, they look like middle schoolers through high schoolers. They flooded the altar to pray. My wife was down front leading kids to Christ. But when Christians unite, God will show up. And like you said before the break, when you give the gospel in a compelling manner, young people respond, don't they?
Amen. Amen. Well, we both saw that this summer when we did our equip retreat out in Montana. We had 80-some-odd folks there, and you want to talk about a crazy story, folks. And look, we don't do altar calls when we do the equip rallies. We don't really push that type of a thing. We don't, you know, sneak a hand up, that type of a thing. We preach the gospel and say, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, then you want to deal with it. And out of 80-plus young people that we had there, there were 15 that really didn't want to be there. And eight of those 15, and I'm talking hardcore, one was like, hey, if I set my cabin on fire, can I go home, right? Another one cussing her counselor for 3 days. And on Wednesday night, eight of those 15 knuckleheads got saved. And at the end of it, we had 32 that made professions of faith. And these were, I'm telling you, these were some tough nuts to crack. And the Holy Spirit knows how to do it. And he's doing it. And it's going to come through the prayers of God's people and his people being obedient to his word and preaching his word.
Amen. Yeah. About a month ago, we were in Hewitt, New Jersey. And that was the, if I recall, that was the last equip camp of the summer. Beautiful, up near the Hudson River Valley. And we sponsored a young man. We got a call from a mom down in Louisiana. And she said, you know, we don't have any money, but my son, I really want him at the equip camp. And so we sponsored his plane ticket, everything, the camp.
Wow.
And the first day or two, I don't know if you remember this young man, he was a little bit non-committal. I mean, he was not exactly thrilled to be there. But by the end of the week, he accepted Christ. Carl, last week we just got an email from him, and he said, I'm so glad. I hope I go back next summer. I'm a believer. Wow. I'm reading my Bible every day. But listen to what he said. You'll love this, Carl. This young man who came to our equip camp, he said, my best friend in school is an atheist, but he won't be much longer. I'm going to bring him to Christ.
Amen. You know, you may not know this one, Alex. One of the young ladies that was there was from Columbia. She flew all the way up here from Columbia specifically for the equip rally.
You mean like South America?
She attends the country of Colombia. And she came up. She goes to a very large church, and her father was a pastor there, passed away a short time ago, really bad cancer. But she is so on fire and wants to reach her peers. She came up to get the training so that she can take what we did back to Colombia. So it's happening. People's lives are being impacted. So thank you.
Amen. Well, Carl, let me ask you this. I've been to a couple of hundred colleges to speak or debate, and very often youth and professors, they'll say, you know, the planet is fragile. It is such a miracle, an unlikely thing that 13.8 billion years ago life evolved, and it's fragile. So we've got to save the planet. And environmentalism has become like a cult religion. And Carl, I believe, now you correct me if I'm wrong because you're the expert, but I really think this green worldview is an outflow of assumptions about Darwinian evolution. Now, there's a lot of things like lithium batteries that we're going to talk about, but speak to me about evolution breeding this religion of environmentalism and what the creation message might do to mitigate against that.
You know, it's interesting. I now remember BC, before Christ, right? I remember listening to this song, and the lyric was essentially, you're going to worship somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to worship somebody. And everybody worships somebody. And if you're not worshiping the creator of the universe, you are worshiping the creation or a made-up creator. And so how do we get to the stage where you get people to not really trust in the creator? Again, like I mentioned earlier, you've got to change that history. There was a science fiction movie that I saw once, and this young lady was writing in her diary. She was trying to save her brother from these people that were trying to indoctrinate him and this sort of a thing. And as she's writing in her diary, she wrote, "How do you rid Earth of humans?" And her response was, "First, you rid the humans of their humanity." And guys, if you think about that, that is exactly what the theory of evolution does. It rids us of our humanity because we become nothing more than the product of naturalistic processes. Given enough time, right circumstances, something came from nothing, which you try and figure that one out. I do one whole talk on that, getting something from nothing. You think our position is bad, believing in a God that created the way that he said that he did? Try and figure out how you get something from nothing. And by the way, spoiler alert, the only way you get something from nothing is to redefine the term nothing. That's it.
Right.
If that process is how we got here, then ultimately, where's God in that? Well, we're God because we're the pinnacle of evolution. We're the most highly evolved. And so what you see is that you either worship the creator, you worship the creation, or a very poor version of it. And that mechanism of evolution is the thing that gives supposed credibility to that history even having a possibility of occurring. But when you look at it deeply and you study it, it is not possible. It is not possible to get something from nothing. By the way, I use one clip in that talk, Alex, that blows people's minds. It's from Michelle Thaler, PhD astronomer from How the Universe Works, a secular program. And she says point blank that when she sits on the mountains, you're sitting next to the rocks, she feels a peace with them because the rocks are our cousins too. That is the outcome of a very wrong worship. We are worshiping the wrong thing, and only God will give us the right answer.
Wait, the rocks are our cousins?
The rocks are our cousins too. I will play that clip for folk anytime, man, because I use it with this younger generation. Because what I want them to see is if you think Christianity has problems, if you think Christianity has to have some real hoops to jump through to make it work, then you explain how you get life from non-life. You explain how rocks are our cousins. It makes no sense. Matter of fact, I used that clip in Boston. It was so funny. I knew I was going to use it, so I went out and I found a big old rock and I put it up on the stage. And when I got done, I said, "Oh, by the way, I meant to introduce you. This is Cousin Sal over here. He's the strong, silent type."
Yeah, meet the family.
The rest of the week, Alex, people were bringing in rocks and putting them on the stage. One young lady started taking smaller rocks and painting faces on them and had a ribbon tied to them with a little card that had their backstory on it. It was awesome. But that's exactly what evolution teaches.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in recent years, I mean, there's been such a push for EVs and save the planet. And I know that so much around whether it's wind turbines or solar panels or, you know, lithium ion batteries, you know, we hear the talk of green energy. Now, as we do this show, I know everybody's probably heard the story in the news that, and this is sad. I mean, my heart really goes out to, there are Islamic terrorists in the Middle East. They don't carry cell phones, at least as of the recent week, last week or so, because the Israel intelligence could track terrorists with cell phones, right, pinging from tower to tower. So they said, "Oh, here's the way we'll get under the radar. Everybody, quick, get a pager." Now, folks, like myself, this morning I was up at 8 a.m. working on news prep, and I'm thinking, pagers still exist? You know? But the sad thing today, as of right now, they say 4,000 Hamas terrorist operatives were severely injured because the pagers, which have a lithium ion battery inside, and they were trying to communicate and get around without being identified by Israeli intel, but the pagers exploded. And that's sad. It really is. But here's the thing about it. In California, about a month ago, there was an EV that caught on fire. Now, the lithium batteries, now keep in mind, the green energy environmental cult, they're going to save the planet by ending internal combustion petroleum-based engines for electric EVs. But when a lithium-ion battery catches fire, it burns at 1,100 degrees and puts out toxic fumes.
Carl,
and by the way, I was on a plane. This is about 4 or 5 years ago. I was on a plane, because it seems like I fly all the time, where a guy's tablet exploded. It was very scary, and the flight attendants were telling everybody to stay in their seat. So I guess here's the thing. The assumption that coal and petroleum, gas and diesel is bad, must outlaw it to save the planet. So what are we going to do in its place? We're going to do something much more toxic, much more carcinogenic, much more volatile and dangerous. So I guess, Carl, is this an example of evolutionary assumptions ultimately harming, not helping people?
I don't know if it's evolutionary assumptions, but I would say that it's man thinking that they're so much smarter than that they really are. Think of it like this. When I have now the light bulbs that we get today, the little spiral type things, used to take a light bulb out, boom, you broke it, no big deal. Now they've got warnings on there that you need like a hazmat suit to clean this thing up because of whatever's on the inside of this thing. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, and we're so much better. I just flew into California, Alex. And when you're going, it's like you see this sea of these electric, you know, absorbing the sun to create electricity. And it's massive. You talk about destroying the environment. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if evolution would be the direct cause of that, but it may be the foundation of it, because again, we start thinking more about who we are, more of ourselves. Like, we are the pinnacle of intelligence. And so we start making decisions, a simple decision that, you know, some people may not relate, but I led people down the Grand Canyon for years, and it used to be some of the greatest trout fishing going. Well, one of the last trips I took, they were out there shocking all the trout and killing the trout. I'm like, what's going on? Well, this isn't a native fish. And so the humpback chub, which is a native fish, can't survive because of the trout. But here's the problem, Alex. That river, that Colorado River today, is not the Colorado River that it was before the dam. It's water coming out from the bottom of the dam, which is extremely cold, which trout survive in, which humpback chub don't survive in. So we're going to kill off the trout, which is surviving and doing beautiful, so that this fish that can't survive in that water, so we get so smart we're dumb. I mean, that's the only way that I can think of it. We just get so smart we're dumb.
Yeah, well said. Hey, I want to give the number if you want to call in, join in the conversation. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Alex McFarland here, our very special guest, Carl Kirby, apologist, creation expert. If you'd like to weigh in, whether it be the lithium batteries or creation, the cult of environmentalism, in these topics and more, we'd love to have you be with us. And we've got a brief break. Stay tuned, but have hope. The gospel message and the biblical worldview still changes lives. And it can not only do that, it can change our culture as well. Let's speak with a unified voice to help you do that. More after this.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. We're going to get to the phone calls really quickly. That number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. You know, I began from 2 Timothy 3 talking about perilous times will come, and it's talking about the immorality of the age and violence and blasphemy. and just the battle of worldviews. If there were a life verse for the age in which we live, 2 Timothy 3:7, and this describes so many people ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to say this, if you're listening to the program and we're talking about God and creation, folks, the truth, I mean, what's really real, it boils down to this, that Jesus died for you. He proved who he is by rising from the dead. Nobody else has ever done that. Only Jesus Christ literally rose from the dead. And if you're trying to process all this and you're saying, you know, what does it mean? You know, does God really care about me? There are many places I could direct you, but on my own website, which is alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com. There's a little tab that says, what does God say about my relationship with him? I want to challenge you to read that. And I want you just in your heart to say, God, if you're real, show me. We often say this. And folks, I have given my adult life to studying this, been to 72 sites in the Holy Land. Folks, I'm telling you, the Bible is true. Jesus Christ is real. And Jesus is as close by as a prayer. And if you need to come to the Lord, or maybe come back to the Lord, Jesus does love you. Jesus is as close by as a prayer. So don't let this day go by without settling where you stand with God. And I know Carl Kirby would concur with those sentiments as well. We're going to go to Oklahoma. Mark from Oklahoma, thanks for holding. You're our first caller on this program, the Hamilton Corner, with our very special guest, Carl Kirby. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you for having me. I got two quick comments. You were talking about people being so smart they're dumb. I got a comment. It's called dumbfounded. You've heard of dumbfounded, right? This is dumbfounded. This is the age of dumbfounded. My next comment is very, very important for people to understand this. The news media was covering the second assassination attempt on Donald Trump, but they never mentioned banning assault rifles at all, ever, in that comment, on that coverage. But they on the school shootings, ban assault rifles. Well, an AK-47 is an assault rifle that man tried to shoot Donald Trump, or was attempting to proceed to shoot Donald Trump. Why don't they talk about banning assault rifles when it comes to Donald Trump? I don't understand that. But anyway, thank you so much. The people of America need to understand this. This news media is manipulating people and doing just as much harm as the evolution part of it. This news media is absolutely garbage. But thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, point well taken, Mark. Let me just say this. I truly believe, look, for all of 2016 through 2020, Hillary Clinton kept calling Donald Trump, quote, an illegitimate president. Nancy Pelosi calls him invalid. People like Obama, Chuck Schumer, Bill Maher, Joy Behar, they've used this phrase. It's a weird phrase, and I would submit that 99% of the population doesn't understand it. But they'll say, Donald Trump is an existential threat to democracy. I'm going to tell you, folks, now, two attempts on his life. What it amounts to is reckless endangerment by rhetoric, really. And so they've been very dismissive of President Trump, and that's unfortunate. And, you know, think about this. He doesn't need this. He's a billionaire. I truly believe that the man has put his life on the line for this country. We're going to go to Scott in Michigan. Scott, thanks for holding. Welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Hello, Alex. How are you doing?
Blessed. How are you?
Great. You know, I heard you tell a story where you were overseas, I think it was somewhere in Europe, maybe it was a Billy Graham crusade, and it was the most humbling Christian story I've ever heard, whereas you were going to go to a hotel, and somehow you ended up in this dirt barracks, and you saw
I know the story you're speaking
who,
of.
Got a piece of bread and cheese, and he was so thankful for that, and you were humbled by that.
Would you like me to share that story briefly?
Yeah, I know it might have been a lengthy one that I heard, but if you could share it briefly, I think that would really touch a lot of hearts. And I was also curious about what kind of cars you restored.
Huh. Well, hey, you know what? What's really wild? Now, check this out. And Carl, by the way, thanks, Scott. Carl, did you go in the summer of 2000, the Billy Graham Ministry, for Christian speakers like yourself, they had a conference called Amsterdam 2000. Did you go to that?
No,
conference?
I wasn't invited to that one.
No, I didn't. Scott, check this out. When I was a brand new Christian, I was in my parents' barn on a chicken farm in North Carolina. I was restoring a 66 Mustang. I'd been working on it. I'd been a believer about a year. Never dreamed I'd be in the ministry. And listen to this. I'm on my back about 9 o'clock at night, listening to James Dobson, and I was changing out a rear end in a 66 Mustang, and I'm dirty, I'm on my back, and I'm listening to James Dobson, and I'll never forget, James Dobson said, if we don't have a moral and spiritual revival, gay marriage will become law, transgenderism will be taught in the public school, and 25 years later, when I was working for James Dobson, I said, do you remember saying that? He said, oh, yeah, it was about 1988. And he said, I caught a lot of flack. And so, to your point, listen, I grew up turning wrenches on Ford 8N tractors, Chevy pickup trucks, and then I saved all my pennies and bought a Mustang. But I got to tell you this story about going to Amsterdam 2000. Now, listen to this, folks. So I'm a pampered American. I go to Amsterdam, and for 2.5 weeks, we're going to be staying in a heavy equipment warehouse. And there are 10,000 evangelists from third world countries. It's a noisy, stinky place, dirt floors, and there were aisles and aisles of steel cots. Now, on every cot was a loaf of brown bread and a hunk of cheese and a few bottles of water. And I thought, this is a stinky warehouse. There's only 400 showers for 10,000 men. And a Texan, a guy from Texas, he walks up to me. He goes, hey, look, let's take the train to Amsterdam. Let's go in half. Let's get a hotel. I'm not going to stay in this warehouse for 2 weeks going out street evangelizing. I got to get a bath. I said, yeah, let's go in. And then all of a sudden, I saw this group of men from India, and they looked on the cot was a loaf of bread and a block of cheese. And I watched a man fall down weeping, and he was saying, oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Oh, my goodness, Lord, thank you. And I was watching a guy weep tears of gratitude over a loaf of bread and a block of cheese. And this man quietly whispered in my ear, one of the Billy Graham staffers, he said, Alex, you do know for these 10,000 evangelists from North and South Korea, India, South America, the Asian world, he said, staying in this dirt floor warehouse for 2 weeks are the finest accommodations these guys will ever have in their entire life. And I got on my knees. I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm spoiled. You know, I think I'm roughing it. I'm not even worthy to sleep next to these guys that give their life for the gospel. So, Scott, listen, I don't mean to talk about myself, and Carl, I apologize for taking time away. But, folks, here's what I'm trying to say. We're so blessed. Folks, we're blessed. There's an old little poem. It says, one life to live, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. If we have to suffer for the gospel, let's do. Let's suffer, but let's give our life for the one who gave his life for us. Mark in North Carolina, you're on with my guest, Carl Kirby.
Oh, thanks. And I only have a short time. I'll give a couple of references, but I'm a member of a group that writes objective science of the secular science that supports the absolute science, the knowledge of God. And, for example, catalytic converters take care of that carbon dioxide gas, just like the trees, and turn it into oxygen. And I refer to Timothy's reference to Paul's Timothy. chapter 6, 1 Timothy 6, 20-21, beware of science falsely proclaimed. Those having adopted have fallen away. And then and now. So I'd like to give you these two references. We don't have time to answer. Trust the Genesis Foundations so you can trust Christ. And that's what's happened. Our young people, last two generations, have thrown the Genesis Foundations out. And that's why so many are not reaching Christ. And you can use these two books that we have written to address any of the creation, evolution debates and bring it out rightly by God's direction and the true objective science knowledge, not the false science that, oh, we can't use the carbon dioxide gas. Yes, we can. We're smart.
Hey, let me give Carl a chance to jump in here. Mark, hold that thought. Carl, the Bible references science falsely so-called. Is that what Darwinian theory really is?
Oh, absolutely. When you take a look at nothing turning into something to turn into a worm, to grow legs, to crawl out of the land, to become an amphibian, to turn into a rat, to turn into a wolf, to go back into the ocean, to become a whale, that's not science. That's science fiction. And I do like science fiction, but I know what it is. It's science fiction. And I'm not going to let it determine who I am and who God is. It's just a story, and it's a very interesting story, but it's not a true story. So, yes, science falsely so-called. When you talk about observational empirical science, we Christians and non-Christians have the same rocks, they have the same people, they have the same everything. The problem that we have is not with the observational evidence, it's with the interpretation of the evidence, and that is where we start falling into all these disagreements with people. But when you start with God's word and take that to say, okay, God created, in the beginning, he created one man and one woman. Now I go to the world that I live in. I study the Y chromosome, passed from the father to the child. And guess what? We all go back to one man. Could have saved a lot of time and money on that research. Mitochondrial DNA passed from the mother to the offspring. Shows we all go back to one woman. Could have saved a lot of time and money on that research. What we see in the world is consistent with what we read in the word. We have to teach a generation how to start with the word to deal with those issues.
Mm. I want to go to Patty. Is it in Iowa, Patty? Are you in Iowa?
Yes, it is.
Wonderful.
But I met you both a couple years ago at Cedar Falls Bible Conference.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw Carl this summer there.
Wonderful. Do you know what's funny? Patty, forgive me if you're interrupting. I might be back there in the summer of 25.
I hope so.
Oh, Carl, the gentleman that runs the Cedar Falls Bible Conference.
Yeah, we're actually doing an equip retreat there. And Matt Reisner.
Yeah, wonderful, Patty. Well, listen, you can be sure that if we get the Equip Retreat and myself there next summer, we'll be talking about it often and loudly on the radio. But thank you for remembering that. But, Patty, what you got, sister?
Well, one thing, a year ago yesterday, my husband went home to heaven and wanted to thank you for when you, a year before, prayed for us.
Well, our condolences. Blessings to you, dear one.
Thank you. But what I called about, two things, actually. I just thought of the other after I told the guy on the phone about the lithium batteries. We get most of those from communist China. We shouldn't be helping their economy. And they get a lot of the lithium from the Democratic Republic of Congo, where they use child labor to do dangerous mining to get that out. So we're bad. The way they mine it is hard on the environment.
It is. But Patty, also, forgive me. We got to jump in here. Yes, I would argue this green energy is not really clean energy, and it's certainly not ethically sourced. Carl, we're almost out of time. There's a lot to talk about. What have you got on the docket? We've only got a few 30 seconds, but the next debunked videos, what's going on in your world, Brother Carl?
Pray for us for the debunked. It's we're debunking the claim that there's nothing wrong with porn, and that's a tough topic, but it needs to be addressed.
Mm. Wow, and your website is?
rforh.com, and the same with the app, rforh.com.
Carl Kirby, thanks so much. Everybody, thank you for listening. Thanks to Marty Sparks, Bobby Rosa, the amazing crew at the American Family Radio Network. Hey, folks, I'll be on Today's Issues tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Central Time. Thanks for listening.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.